this next song's called New Somewhere to Love. It was off my first EP, which you can find on Spotify, iTunes, and all that things.
I had a lot of fun. I didn't expect there to be that many people there. It's quite a big uni you got here. So, no, it's nice to see so many faces. And probably out of the sessions I've done so far for Coffee House, that was probably the one that felt most like a gig. Because the other ones were a lot more pop-up, but that, you know, had a nice PA and stuff, and everyone was kind of standing with a beer in their hand. So, no, it was cool, man. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Where else have you been so far?
We have been to Bournemouth, Winchester, Essex, and Luton.
Nice. Which one was your favourite out of those?
All
right, what was the worst?
The worst? Oh, I can't call it.
You almost said it as well. You almost said the worst. There has been a worst, is what you just said.
No, you know what it is? All of them have been very different setup, yeah? And you can tell some of them, the students know that you're coming there to play, and some of them, they have no idea that something's going on. So on some of the shows, I feel like I'm really interrupting to someone's lunch break, do you know what I mean? Because I'm like, I don't want to sing it when people are, you know, munching away, and they obviously don't want someone playing. So sometimes I feel bad about playing there. And the other ones, you know, people have come down because they know there's a show on, so...
Yeah. What attracted you to the Coffee House tour? Did you watch last year's and think, I need to get involved in that, or did someone approach you?
I've never done kind of back-to-back touring, and I've always wanted to, because it's a great way to interact with fans and meet new fans and kind of get people on board and, you know, develop your skill as a performer and as an artist. So it is always important for me to go on a back-to-back tour, and I would do my back-to-back tour, my first one, acoustic, which I love. And Coffee House Tour, it's all organised for you. Do you know what I mean? They do it all for you. And you're going into students, which is, there's always going to kind of be a crowd there, so you don't have to start looking at tickets and this and that. So it's kind of a no-brainer not to do it. And I was just feel very privileged to be able to get onto it, and would advise any up-and-coming artist, actually, to get on it, because it's a great experience. You'll definitely improve your craft and hopefully gain some new fans and meet some existing ones, which is, you know, why you're going on tour. So.
How did tonight's crowd compare to Glastonbury 2 years ago?
Glastonbury was incredible. I was very nervous for the show. They had the cameras there, went live out on BBC Three. So it was a massive learning curve. I would say I'm a lot more confident performer now than when I did that. But at the same time, you know, I was on BBC Introducing Stage, so shout out to them for always being supportive. But, you know, it was a kind of stage when, because it's Glastonbury and there's so much going on, no one really came to watch me. No one heard of me, you know. These introducing stages are all about new artists that no one really knows of. So there wasn't really a crowd there. But what was interesting is when people walked by, you know, I'd eventually get heads kind of coming through, and some people would leave and that. But it was nice to kind of see someone walking by, see them stop, hear the music and come in. And that was a really great feeling. And, you know, afterwards I was absolutely buzzing. And generally it was a very good show, so it went well.
Where were you when you got the phone call? Because I always imagine artists to be like in a weird place where you're like, I don't know, on the toilet or something, or where you're like just ordering a McDonald's and you got a phone call saying, hey, you want to perform at Glastonbury? Yeah. Were you like, oh my God, are you pranking me?
It was. It wasn't a McDonald's, but I went to go get I was eating some sushi in the restaurant. I think I'd just come out of rehearsals. And my manager called me up and was like, we got Glastonbury. And I was just like, what the hell?
Did you drop your sushi and was like, I can imagine slow motion, you drop it and you just get up and go, yes!
I'm not going to lie, I played it cool. I did play it cool because I was with some mates, do you know what I mean?
Shall we reenact it now? So I'm your manager. I called you up and go, hey, just got Glastonbury on the BBC Introducing Stage.
Oh, what's that? We got Glastonbury, bro?
Yeah, we got Glastonbury, man.
That's pretty cool. Hey, yo, lads, we got Glastonbury. No biggie. It's not like, you know, the most historical festival in the world.
So tell us about your journey into BBC Introducing. Why did you go down that route particularly and not a different route?
I think, if I'm honest, it was all very natural. I was young, didn't know how to get into the music industry, didn't know how difficult it is, didn't know what's going on, didn't know anyone, was purely just doing stuff on the back of it, you know, use the internet, uploaded videos, had some demos on there. And BBC Introducing is kind of like, you know, a platform to get into BBC, which is essentially Radio 1, 1 Extra and everything. Do you know what I mean? And that's crucial to breaking an artist. So when you're an unknown artist and there's a service there saying, put your track through and we'll get someone to actually listen to them and maybe you'll get played on national radio, I think it'd be pretty stupid not to submit a track, because as soon as you get played on national radio and they get behind you, it's a foot in the door and then you can start, you know, building a career. Obviously, there's loads of other ways to get onto radio, but when you literally got no team, which I had absolutely no one at the time, it's... you know, it's an amazing opportunity, so...